Today is May 20th, 2020. Huh, look at that. And this is episode number 530. Seems like it should be 520, but whatevs. Of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Brian Chaffin, and honestly, I just do not have enough time to do all the things. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, however, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you would like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at macobserver.com/contextmachine, and that will take you straight to our Facebook group. Now, our sponsor this week is Clean My Mac X. Later in the show, I'm going to tell you how to get 5% off this rather excellent software from MacPaw. And joining me this week is a young photographer extraordinaire, one Andrew Orr. Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Thank you.
And you know, I agree with you that if this was episode 520, that would be amazing.
It would be. Yeah, on 520. 2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah, seems like I didn't plan that right. did not plan that right. Either that or I should have waited until the 30th to record this, but then our sponsor would probably be pretty cranky.
Yeah.
Yeah, so can't do that. All right, so let's see here. You wrote up, we're recording this on Wednesday, May 20th, as advertised. You wrote up a story about the Irish whistleblower. Actually, I don't know if he is Irish, but he worked in Ireland. And he was the whistleblower who went all cranky about Apple's data collection through Siri grading.
Yes. So just to add a little bit of history, this happened, I think it was last October 2019, where this whistleblower leaked to everyone that what Apple was doing with Siri is that it would occasionally collect this randomized short snippet of people's conversations with Siri in an attempt to, you know, just help improve the service. The problem, though, was that, you know, Apple didn't tell anyone about this. They did apologize for it after this came out, and they updated iOS to make it opt-in. So if you don't want to share this data with Siri, you can just turn that toggle off.
Actually,
and so
to share, you have to turn it on. It's opt-in, not opt-out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Opt-in. Okay. So basically today, he revealed his identity. His name is Thomas LeBoniek. I know that's not right, but so it sounds like he's not satisfied with what happened. He acknowledges what that Apple, you know, said sorry, and they updated iOS to make it opt-in. But it sounds like he wants Apple to be punished more, or for Apple to, I don't know, say sorry more, I think.
Well, you know, I read through his statement, and I kind of came away with his statement from like either he's upset that Apple didn't iron its own hands publicly, or that Apple didn't have its hands ironed for it by regulators, or maybe both. And it was I'm kind of not really sure what it is that he's complaining about today. I understand what he was complaining about when he first blew the whistle, and he was right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Apple's own, what was Apple's statement back in the day? We realize we have not been fully living up to our high ideals. I'm quoting here. And that was correct. Okay. So let's actually explain exactly what Apple was doing.
Yeah. Let me see. I need to go back to.
Oh, all right. Well, so I can do that. Apple was capturing snippets recorded by Siri, and then having humans grade the transcriptions from those recordings.
Yeah, that's the part I left out. Humans grading it.
Right. And so basically it was like, so here, you know, here is what Siri got from this recording. Now you human listen to this recording and then see if Siri got it right. You know, make corrections or whatever. And then that information would be used to make Siri's understanding better. And the problem is, so while Apple wasn't connecting that to users, the problem is that Apple didn't disclose that this was happening.
Yeah.
And that is very specifically against Apple's own stated ideals when it comes to privacy and data collection. I this guy was right when he blew the whistle. What I don't understand is why. All right. So furthermore, by the way, he also added in this new statement that and I'm going to quote again, the recordings were not limited to the users of Apple devices, but also involved relatives, children, friends, colleagues, and whoever could be recorded by the device. The system recorded everything: names, addresses, messages, searches, arguments, background noises, films, and conversations. I heard people talking about their cancer, referring to dead relatives, religion, sexuality, pornography, politics, school, relationships, or drugs, with no intention to activate Siri whatsoever. These practices are clearly at odds with the company's privacy-driven policies and should be urgently investigated by data protection authorities and privacy watchdogs. With the current statement, I want to bring this issue to your attention and offer to help, blah, blah, blah. So the original whistleblowing, I'm very glad that this person came forward and did this, because Apple screwed that up.
Yeah, I agree.
But Apple making it opt in, I'm not, like I said, like reading a statement, it's like he's upset that Apple hasn't, you know, like, put itself in the stocks or ironed its hands or, like, you know, once a week said a 100 Hail Marys. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure what it is that he wants. And then he's also lumping Apple in. He said that I'm extremely concerned that big tech companies are basically wiretapping entire populations, despite European citizens being told the EU has one of the strongest data protection laws in the world. Passing a law is not good enough. It needs to be enforced upon privacy offenders. Again, I agree with him there. I'm just not sure why he's lumping Apple in with that.
Yeah.
I mean, even according to his... please, go ahead.
I mean, in my opinion, you know, this is not wiretapping. So,
well, it was, right? Apple didn't disclose what was going on.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Making it opt-in is not as wiretappy. It's certainly not like Amazon and Google and, you know, possibly Facebook. And at the same time, even when Apple was doing this wrongly, they weren't tying the data to people.
Yeah.
And that is there's a world of difference between the other kinds of wiretapping that is being done by this, you know, corporate surveillance world, surveillance capitalism, mm-hmm. and what Apple was doing. But this fellow seems to want to lump them in there. And here's my question, Andrew. Am I just being defensive of Apple, or is this guy a little off the mark?
I mean, you know, he's calling on, like you said, data regulators and privacy watchdogs to do something to Apple. I don't really have an opinion on that. Like, if they want to investigate Apple more, that's their choice. But like you, I do disagree with, you know, him lumping Apple to with all these other companies. And so I think it seems the issue is, should Apple be punished more? I think.
Yeah. if you're gonna punish Apple for what it was doing, it seems like Apple needs to be at the back of the line for punishment.
Yeah.
You know, again, Apple isn't collecting this data to, you know, to compile profiles of us, right? And also, I want to make no bones about the fact that Apple screwed this up from the beginning, and they were doing this for quite a while with this human grading effort.
Yeah.
That should have been disclosed, and it should have been opt-in from the very beginning. Apple screwed that up. But even there, to me, it's still not as bad as the wiretap devices that are listening to us on purpose to further develop our profiles.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, seems a lot more egregious than what Apple did, which was to take snippets and transcribe them and then have that check to basically better train Siri.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's just a difference between that and transcribing stuff to better add to our profiles.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a big difference.
But this guy doesn't seem to think
even that. Apple's statement after the fact, they say, one of the things they say, Siri uses a random identifier associated with a single device to keep track of data while it's processed. It's not tied to your identity through an Apple ID or phone number.
Right. And then Apple would destroy that stuff after a certain, destroy this data after a certain time.
Yeah. And they also go on to say this process was a very tiny sample of Apple customers overall. They say less than 0.2%.
Which was still 0.2% too much.
Right.
Without disclosure and opting in.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't seem to me to be anywhere near as bad as what some of the other tech companies are doing.
Yeah.
I wonder, almost always dangerous to psychoanalyze someone when A, you don't have a psychology degree, and B, you've never met the person. Right. I mean, that's kind of dangerous, but I wonder how much of this new statement from this fellow is just about his personal guilt over some of the things that he heard, like, And he's trying to process that. And first of all, technically speaking, he probably shouldn't feel guilty. But I would certainly, if I heard private and or devastating things from people, I would feel very bad about it too. I would like to think I would have had the courage to, you know, to be a whistleblower like he was. I don't, if that was my job. I'd like to think that I would have done what he did, or you know, or screamed and hollered and about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not in that position. But, yeah. He did, right? He did have the courage.
Yeah, but that guilt diagnosis, you know, that does make sense. He does, like you said, mention people talk about religion, cancer, sexuality, which is, of course, wasn't the intention. That's just whatever is happening in the background.
Mm-hmm. And being exposed to that, and then knowing that people hadn't made it okay. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. I have another angle here that he's probably right about. So I opt in for, you know, for this service, right? I decide to make my recordings. I do the opt-in thing that you can do, so mm-hmm. that Apple can use what it hears from my uses of Siri, or even just having Siri devices around. And I said that's okay, but now you come over to my home. You didn't opt in.
Mm-hmm.
yet, you know, you confessed to me about that homeless person that you robbed 10 years ago, which, by the way, didn't actually happen. But you didn't opt in, and you don't know that you're necessarily being recorded because, you know, you probably don't know about this stuff. Or you've opted in. Okay, fine. So I go over to your house. You've already opted in, and I start telling you about the homeless person that I robbed 10 years ago. And I don't know that I'm being recorded, and I don't know that I don't know that you've opted into this. And I'm telling you all these things because I need someone to talk to, and now, you know, Apple has a human grading series transcription of what I've said.
Yeah.
And maybe the mere continuation of that aspect of the human grading program, the Siri grading program, is one of the things that he's wanting investigated.
Yeah. And yeah, this is where it gets nuanced. I'll just go with your scenario.
Is this the one where I robbed a homeless person?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah. It's a dark time in my life, man.
Even though I opted in, I probably wouldn't tell you or warn you just because I don't think that's something I would think about.
You wouldn't even think about it. Like, you don't want to, you know, like, you know, hello. Oh, hey, Brian. By the way, I want to let you know that Siri may be listening to us. Come on in. Right? That's not a thing.
I mean, maybe you could put a sign in your house that says, warning, some devices may be listening.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. You know, of course, TVs have possibly been doing that for a very long time. And Alexa, Alexa and Google devices are certainly doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Some of your cameras may be doing that. So, you know, it is definitely a world of surveillance capitalism. I tell you what, one thing that I absolutely agree with this fellow is, like, there needs to be more attention from regulators on this. Now, he's speaking very specifically from a European perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish there was a lot more attention brought to this, certainly in the U.S. as well. I would like to see corporate surveillance. I would like to see surveillance capitalism brought to an end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've thought that way too for a while now. I mean, I think a little bit more regulation in general is good. Now, whether that ends up being Apple is a monopoly, antitrust, whatever, those are all different issues. But at least on some level, my opinion is that, yeah, I think these companies do need to be regulated more.
Yeah. Unfortunately, especially in the U.S., if there was any regulation on it, it would simply be that it has to be disclosed. The corporations would put a shrink wrap EULA and user license agreement on stuff. And no one would read it. No one would pay attention, and things would keep going. I mean, because it's not like there's not plenty of information to know why Facebook is quote unquote free.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not like there's not plenty of information to understand some of the things that Amazon is doing with Alexa, and same thing with Google and Google Home Assistant, and all of the data collection that's being done, like all the various places that we give our name and our address and we sign up for something and we, you know, we're doing something and it's supposed to be free, and it's free because they're selling us or selling access to us at best, right? No one cares. My point is that there is plenty of information explaining that everywhere, and very few people seem to care. And so to wrap this all up, in the U.S., even if there was any additional regulation, it would be window dressing regulation.
Yeah. I mean, my hope that it would be something like GDPR, but I think the only way you're going to start forcing companies around is hitting them with big fines, hitting Facebook with a fine of $100 million is just pocket change. They're not going to change.
I don't think
that is a criticism of GDPR too. Like, I think I wrote about that a while ago, that some people think they're not fining these companies enough.
I would say that that's absolutely the case. And I don't even know if there is a fine for these things that could ever be enough. I think that the fines become a cost of doing business. Right? No matter how big they are, it's just the cost of doing business. I mean, like, you know, we've seen even when Facebook or Google or whomever gets like a record-setting fine set against it, that the stock tends to go up because it wasn't worse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when your profit margins are as big as they are for Facebook or Google, you know, fein Schmein.
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's just another level of risk.
Yeah, it's just exactly. It's just another. It's a cost of doing business. The true punishment for the corporate surveillance capitalist industry is for consumers to vote with their own pocketbooks, i.e. not to use these products, not to use these services.
Yeah.
If people stopped using them, they wouldn't be a thing. And that's probably not going to happen either, because people like quote-unquote free stuff. And most people don't care, especially younger people. They don't seem to care at all.
Yeah.
You know, free is great.
Yeah. And now this is like all depressing now.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. So, all right. So back to Mr. Le Billion. I'm not quite sure what it is that he's wanting. I'm in sympathy with like what he's saying from a wide angle view. It's weird to me that he's lumping Apple in with the surveillance capital world. And I don't understand why. And I don't know if it's because there's something Chaffin's razor at play here, where there's something that he knows that I don't, or if I'm just being overly defensive of Apple, or if he's wrong to lump Apple in with these other companies.
Yeah, and I have seen that argument before, where people lump Apple into all these other companies. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. Apple needs to do, in my opinion, Apple needs to do a better job of staking out its position on this stuff, articulating that position, and then making sure that they don't have any other mistakes in their closet like this one. Because this went on for a long time, this thing that he initially blew the whistle on.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Apple needs to make sure that it doesn't get caught with its privacy pants around its privacy ankles. Or something.
I mean, right now, something I just thought of, right now they have that supplier transparency report. What if they had some sort of privacy report like that?
Well, they do the government request report, but that is a lot different.
Yeah.
That is a lot different. And I'm not sure how, like, you know, there's a lot of things that I don't know if Apple would want to disclose from a competitive advantage standpoint. But, you know, with Apple working, we don't know exactly on what. Well, there's HealthKit. But with Apple working on putting us in charge of our own health information, the company can't afford to make mistakes like it did with the Siri grading program.
Yeah.
Because Apple needs to be above reproach.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, as they're getting deeper into health, they need to take these things very, extremely seriously.
Yeah, very, right. And it appears that Apple does. But again, this was just back in October. This was, what, 8 months ago?
Yeah.
You know, 8 months ago, this came to light. It had been going on for years. Apple did react quickly. Apple did, in my opinion, the right thing. But you know, I hope there aren't other skeletons with privacy pants down around their privacy ankles in Apple's closet. I'm gonna mix this metaphor as hard as I can.
Yeah, I hope there's nothing more. Yeah. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. All right, let me tell you about Clean My Mac X. This is from MacPaw. This is a product that I've been using for years. I love Clean My Mac X. Actually, I've been using it since before Clean My Mac X came out. I used the previous version too. It's one of those must-have utilities, in my opinion, for any Mac. So here's the deal. Clean My Mac X has more than 10 years of helping users achieve more with their Macs. This cleaning utility is a simple and user-friendly app that works wonders on your Mac. Clean My Mac X is more than just a Mac cleaner. It doesn't show you files you already know you have. It deep scans your Mac for temporary files and app leftovers that aren't so easy to find manually. With powerful functionality and lots of useful features, Clean My Mac X helps you to stay aware of all apps that are installed on your Mac and their permissions. So you can find out which programs can access your camera and your microphone, for instance. To help you organize and manage your space even more, Clean My Mac X builds a visual map of your storage, and you can use that to find the heaviest folders and see exactly what is stored in them. It's easy to stay on top of things with Clean My Mac X's menu. This minimalistic yet informative tool instantly updates you on how much free storage you have, shows you heavy consuming apps, and lets you free up memory. Like I said, to me, it's a must have utility for your Mac. Been using it for years. Love it. Delighted that they're sponsoring the show. And because they're sponsoring, you can save 5%. If you visit macpaw.com/podcast to download Clean My Mac X today, you can use coupon code ACM2020 to receive 5% off. Upon visiting macpaw.com/podcast, click the Buy Now button, then scroll to the bottom of your screen to enter the code before completing your purchase. Clean My Mac X is also now available on the Apple App Store. And again, I want to thank MacPaw for sponsoring the show. If you don't have Clean My Mac X, you should get it. And you should definitely use ACM 2020 to receive 5% off. All right, Andrew, our second topic today is exclusivity in the podcast world.
Yes. So Charlotte wrote this up today. The big news is that Joe Rogan has signed an exclusive deal with Spotify. It's reported to be around $100 million, a multi-year deal, and I think by the end of this year, they said that would be the deadline. By the end of this year, his show will be exclusively on Spotify.
Right. And this is essentially merely like the biggest, latest step of exclusivity in the podcast world. Right. Mm-hmm. There's been some turf wars forming in the podcast world. Like, we know that Apple is working on developing its own stable of podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. And we can assume that those are going to be exclusively on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts. And
yeah,
Spotify has also been working on getting its own exclusive shows. And so basically they're working on trying to attract listeners by offering exclusive content, which is something that the satellite radio companies did.
Yes.
With relatively limited success because the internet. But regardless, this is probably going to continue. So they said that by September 1st, Joe Rogan's show would be appearing on Spotify exclusively. And then by the end of the year, it would disappear from every other platform.
Yeah. And they also add quickly, of course, that it's still going to be free. You can sign up for a free Spotify account. That's just the only place you can listen to it on.
Right. And you were a little cranky about this, not necessarily about Joe Rogan's show. And that is like, that's one of the biggest shows, right?
I would say he's the top or in the top five podcasters. Like he's big, seriously. I don't really listen to him a whole lot. Like besides podcasts, he also records it live. So I'll watch the show occasionally if he has some cool guest on, like a scientist. But other than that, this doesn't really affect me. However, this has happened to me before. So there is a podcast I do listen to. It's called Last Podcast on the Left. They did this back in February, I think, where they too went exclusive on Spotify. And I don't think I really have any issue with Spotify itself. I'm just annoyed that I have to, you know, use another app for just this one show, because I don't really have any interest in listening to Spotify music or the other podcasts, just because I have Apple Music and all Apple devices. So I've never really, you know, looked at that as a listening option. So basically my beef is I'm just annoyed that I have to, you know, sign up for this account just for this one show.
Well, how is this any different from TV shows and or movies being exclusive to this streaming service or another?
Yeah, that's another good point. Like Apple, I've written about Apple having the exclusive rights to all these shows and movies coming out recently. Mm-hmm. So isn't that like, that's probably what they want to turn podcasting into, everything to be kind of exclusive like that, right?
I would guess that, well, so there's a little bit of a difference between the podcast world and TV shows and movies, and that is the barrier to entry. So Joe Rogan has a big show, and there's no doubt at this point that he's got a talented staff working for him, right? But the production cost of his show are tiny compared to making a TV show or a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that there is almost no barrier to entry for podcasting. You need a microphone, you need something to record it with, and then you need an internet connection to upload it to somewhere.
Yeah.
Be it Apple, be it Spotify, be it whatever, you know, wherever. And that's about it. But when it comes to making a TV show or a movie, really low budget, no barrier to entry productions tend to be worth every penny that they cost.
Yeah, right? That's a good point.
So I don't think that most podcasts are going to become exclusive. But I think that it's a really good bet that most popular podcasts will eventually become exclusive to one service or another.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that I mean, because, you know, Joe Rogan is really big, and there are some other large podcasts, and there are certainly large niche podcasts. Mm-hmm. And you know, those basically are driving dollars. And because they're driving dollars, Apple and possibly Amazon and Spotify, maybe Google, and maybe Facebook at some point might think that they can use them to drive members and or subscriptions.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I would think, because again, let's go back to the reality that Apple is working on its own stable of podcasts. Again, those are probably going to be exclusive. And Apple clearly feels like it can use those to drive subscribers of some sort.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think I don't look, listen, I love the Apple Context Machine. I love having guests on. I love having great discussions. I love talking about Oak Island with John Keat on the Apple Context Machine. I don't think that Apple and Spotify are going to end up in a bidding war over who gets the rights to carry the Apple Context Machine. Probably, like, even the Matt Geek Gab, which is our biggest podcast at TMO, I doubt that the Matt Geek Gab's audience is big enough for Apple and Spotify to want to make it exclusive or be willing to pay for it to be exclusive too.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely bigger shows where that could be the case. And for Spotify, you know, Spotify struggles to make money to begin with, and the only way they can make any money is by getting more paying subscribers.
Yeah.
So it really makes sense. It makes sense for them to try to stake out this territory, I think.
Yeah, it does make sense for them on the business side. Yeah.
But it is, I'm sure. Well, so you say you don't want to have to use different apps to listen to like a single show. But the reality is that before you weren't like, hey, I'm going to go listen to this podcast and, oh, I already have Spotify open, or, oh, I already have something from Apple already open, Apple Podcast or whatever. Right, you were already going to the same place for the shows that you wanted to watch. So I mean, like, how different would this be for you?
I mean, it is really just a minor annoyance because, you know, thankfully, as a little aside, Spotify does support signing with Apple, so that's fast and easy and quick.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. So, I guess to sort of like tie this together, I think we're going to see more of this. It may or may not be as big as Joe Rogan. If Howard Stern's contract with SiriusXM comes to an end, I could see Apple and or Spotify wanting to bid on him.
Uh-huh.
I could see, God, I wonder if the political talk radio shows could end up becoming exclusive along those lines. Yeah, anyway, there are lots of different shows I could see being exclusives. And I think this trend is going to continue.
Well, also, something else I just realized, I wonder if I would be less annoyed if there were more podcasts I listened to on Spotify, just because that way I would be getting what I see as more value out of it.
Sure. That makes sense.
But yeah, I do see your point. I can see this happening more and more too with the big podcasters.
Yep. Yep. And so then it turns from them being able to get the most money from sponsors to them being able to get more money by being exclusive somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not only is this good for Spotify, but it's also good for the creators themselves. One of this quote that Charlotte shared is that it will remain free. It's the exact same show. It's just a licensing deal. So Spotify won't have creative control over the show. But so creators can still get paid while still having, you know, their own artistic freedom.
Well, some can if they've got a big enough name.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's still going to be selling sponsorships. So is this like $100 million deal and he gets to sell sponsorships, or if Spotify will be able to sell those sponsorships?
That's a good point.
It would be weird to me if Spotify didn't get to sell the advertising for that, because it's not just the subscribers that they're wanting, if they could actually make money from it. Because I'm sure that Apple will be doing the same thing for its stable of shows. You know, if they're paying for these shows to be produced, you would think that Apple would then be selling the sponsorships for those shows.
Yeah.
And, you know, frankly, for a lot of content creators, a lot of podcast producers, not having to sell the advertising would be a huge boon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just being able to count on a paycheck from Apple and letting Apple do it at once with the sponsorships, or letting Spotify do it at once. I don't know if that's how this is going to shape up, but I could see that being a benefit to podcast creators.
Yeah. So I'm looking through the article from the BBC about this, but it doesn't look like they mention anything about who's going to be running the ads. Mm. But I kind of imagine it would be Spotify too.
Yeah, it seems like they'd be kind of crazy not to. How many do you know how many years this deal is? It's not $100. It's not $100 million for a year. It's a multi-year deal.
I don't know exactly. It just says a multi-year deal.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, Andrew, I want to thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Of course, absolutely. I also want to thank MacPaw for sponsoring the show, and I apparently have another iPad that wasn't silenced. My apologies. I want to thank MacPaw for sponsoring the show. Again, go to macpaw.com/podcast to download Clean My Mac X today and use coupon code ACM2020 to receive 5% off. And on that happy note, let's do that. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write me at acm@macobserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for TMO. And that is all for this week. Andrew, again, thanks again.
No, thanks.